اللهم صل على
أهل البيت TV, the holy household for every household.
Lauren Booth, sister-in-law of Tony Blair, a human rights activist, journalist, and English broadcaster. She decided to convert to Islam after a spiritual awakening when visiting the shrine of Fatima Masuma in the holy city of Qom.
6 weeks ago, I went to Iran, and I went to a holy shrine called the Mezume Shrine. I was there with a friend of mine, and I didn't know what to expect when I went there, but she put me in a chador and we walked through the crowds to the main area. And I've always loved your religion since I first got to know many of the people of the Ummah. Well, in Iran, in this shrine in Qom, in a very holy city, I took hold of the bars of the shrine itself and I said, Allah, thank you for putting me on this journey. And if you can spare some time to look at Palestine and ease their pain, that would be great. And then I sat down on the floor of the shrine and I felt an overwhelming sense of peace. It's like a feeling I've never ever had before. I couldn't move for a very, very long time. I was so overcome with the feeling of absolute joy. It was like being in love. It was like being somewhere else. It was like being in myself and not myself at the same time. And that night I slept on the floor of the Mazuma Shrine, with the women and the children having their food on the floor. And when I woke up in the morning, I knew that my life would never be the same again. So what I wanted to share with you today is that my name is Lauren Booth and I am a Muslim.
معصوم هاي اختي الرضا هاي النجيبة ماتت غريبة فاطمة ماتت غريبة.
When I was on the floor of the shrine having this feeling, a sister came over to me. She was maybe 22 years old. And I was sitting there and all you could see is my face. And she came and said, are you at peace? And I thought, what a strange question. What else is there but this feeling of peace? Because I know now what you feel when you pray. And I know now that your religion is one of great joy and compassion and peace and love for each other. And thank you so much, Allah, for sharing that moment with me.
Immediately, the news hit headlines, attracting both positive and negative media attention. But behind the headlines and press, who is Lauren Booth? And how has becoming a Muslim changed her life? I went to interview Lauren Booth to speak about her conversion and how the transaction has been in her now becoming a Muslim veiled woman. Assalamu alaikum. You've all seen her conversion story on the internet. You've all read her words in the press. We all know her as a broadcaster and the human rights activist for Palestine. Now, let's meet Lauren Booth. Assalamu alaikum. And to start off with, you know, we all heard your conversion story when you converted to Islam, and we saw your live, you know, announcement at the GPU event. And we read the headlines and everything. But a lot of people, what they wanted to know is your, you know, how you felt when you became a Muslim, and also your opinions on how the media represents Muslim females within the media. So I wanted to touch upon these issues in today's interview. So to start off with, what was your idea of Muslim women before you converted to Islam? I mean, did you believe the media, or what was your perspective of Muslim females?
Well, first of all, welcome to my home, and it's lovely to meet you and to be able to talk about women's issues and women within Islam, because it's so important to the media that this message is used to really destroy the status of Islam in the world. Mm-hmm. That it's great to be able to get the chance to expand on this. What did I know about Islam until a few years ago? Well, I knew some girls in school who were from Pakistan or the Middle East who had long hair and were good at maths. And we knew that they were Muslim, and that was about it. And then, I suppose, growing up and then going into the 80s and 90s, you know, really before 9/11, there wasn't a hatred vocally or publicly of Islam in Britain and Europe, not noticeably. I think that a lot of our preconceptions are still based on propaganda from the Crusades 1,000 years ago, in that a lot of legends were built up at that time about a culture of violence, that violence was used to spread Islam. I think that's still in the back of the European brain, that fear. I think an idea, in the very deep-seated, not necessarily something you'd say, but if you said Islam, of women being enslaved and a very traditional culture. What I knew could have been written on a stamp then and was based on whispers of history.
Definitely. But like as you said, within time, especially after September 11th, it seemed like Islam and Muslims were on the media constantly. And especially Muslim females, I mean, they got labelled and they were in the headlines quite a lot. So, you know, do you think the media represents Muslim females in an incorrect way?
Well, let's talk a little bit first about post 9/11. How is it possible that before 9/11, virtually the same amount of Muslims were living in Europe and America as there are today? And yet nobody was bothered with what was going on with the integration issue as it became with these people supposedly in our societies ready to terrorize us. Did every Muslim wake up on September the 12th in 9/11, whenever it was, and say, oh, actually, we've just been waiting for this to terrorize the infidel? No. And yet, that's the world that non-Muslims woke up to. It was that quick, the turnaround of no doubt that this was unplanned by the media, but that it's become some kind of it's become a myth that's got out of control in the media. And it's very hard to backtrack on that. So, you know, the occasional bursts of interest in how women actually live in Islam are really swept under the carpet, and they go on features pages because the news pages are constant. Muslim family rips off the benefits system, says the front page of the Express. Muslim man with 10 wives beats them all, says the Daily Mail. And of course the word terror. So it's very hard to escape those, and it's very hard then to go, well, Islam is a religion of peace. How does a white person with a non-Muslim background think that? How do they come to that?
That's definitely true. But like I said, with the headlines, we've seen many of these words hit the headlines, and some of the words that have hit the headlines is Muslim females oppressed, or, you know, the veil, as if the veil oppresses us or, you know, hides us away from the world. Do you think that's how they portray Muslim females as well?
Well, I think there is two things going on here. First of all, there's how the average person, European descent, white person in the streets of Britain sees a woman, say, in a chador or very modestly dressed on a high street. Now, there's first the cultural response, which is the culture of our nation changing without us having a control or a say? This is my grandparents' generation, really, where they were coming from. I remember them saying about Wembley, you know, it's changed. All these Pakistanis coming in and all the women dressed in that way. That image already is quite threatening because it's alien. And then you add on the problem of the so-called politicization of Islam and it being, used to terrorize people. The image that is. And you've got two things that are attacking people's sensibilities. Where women are concerned, it's impossible in our day and age in Europe to think that a woman would choose to dress modestly, because we're so bombarded with images that tell us that your hair has to be luxuriant and worth it hair, that you'll get a job if you have the nicest cleavage and the best jacket on, that your value as a student, that your value as a mother is based on how many men find you sensual. That's really what it is. And I found that growing into motherhood, I've been a mother now for 10 years, growing into that role, there was no respect. There was no added respect with those added duties. I really noticed that. And I noticed a lot of women of my age moaning about it because we felt so undervalued and tired. You read it you do read in all the newspapers. Women work harder than men, we work longer hours, we're expected to, and these are non-Muslim as well as Muslim women, but let's just talk about non-Muslim women. They do more washing up and we're supposed to hold jobs. But on top of that, we're supposed to look like 18-year-olds who every man wants to have a relationship as well. Why the last one? And why not take away that one and put, and you're also going to be really loved by your communities and supported by your family for this great role of motherhood. And I just started to wonder, could we not, is there a way? I personally wanted to swap one for the other and couldn't see that being played out, not in anybody in my age group, certainly not in the press. And then I started to recognise that in Islam.